Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you here on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Paul Savage on this Wednesday in for Tommy. Glad to have the big man in the chair for another Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Paul's got a nice one on. We're just keeping the trend alive here, trying to make everybody's day a little bit better. We appreciate everybody out there. We know it's a movement. We know you're joining in. Your coworkers, your colleagues are probably wondering what's going on, but we've got your back here on another Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We got a big show coming up for you today. Another Royals win, a big win, and they're continuing to play well. We'll get into it, what it means, what we like from it a lot when it's a shutout win of the Yankees, a little bit historic in a few ways there. We'll get into that. There's a lot of different things Paul wants to get into today. We'll try to do some of that. We've got Shreya Slada coming up, our KU insider. He's coming up bottom of this hour. To look ahead, look back and look ahead, because we've heard from KU since that loss at Illinois, and now they got another big one against UNLV coming. So we'll talk about that with Shreyas. We'll also have Kevin Saul in, Wichita State's athletic director, top of the next hour to get all caught up on the things and the happenings with the Shockers. I know they have a groundbreaking for the softball facilities coming up. Volleyball is in full swing, so we'll get all caught up on Wichita State athletics as well. Later in the program, your calls always welcome here on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. IHOP excited to bring back It's All You Can Eat Pancakes deal through September 15th. We will give away a little HTO later in the program, so make sure to stay tuned for your opportunity to win that free tea and coffee. All kinds of good stuff coming up today. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. It is a Paul Savage Wednesday. Paul, how are you this morning?
I am good, and I'll tell you how committed I am to Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I might wear a different one, but I'm going to wear a Hawaiian shirt to football practice today. You know something? Ooh. You either believe in this movement or you don't believe in this movement. It's really simple. You do or you don't. I'm a believer. I'm wearing my shirt to football practice. That's what I'm doing.
And you're around young people now. You're helping coach out at Wichita East.
That's right.
Massive game coming up this Friday against Northwest.
Yes.
The Hawaiian shirt movement started a long time ago. We're just bringing it to Sports Daily. Kids are wearing Hawaiians these days. Mm-hmm. They'll probably think you're the coolest guy. They probably already do.
Oh, of course.
So I know you have a lot to relate to with the young people out there.
I do. Yeah, that's right.
If you want to see these beauties we're rocking today, you can always watch the program. Of course, on 12 News Connected, loving that partnership. Yep. You can find it there. You can find it on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. It's all there for you.
Absolutely.
You will not get any debate commentary on the program today. So that's another reason probably a lot of people out there want to stay tuned. We have nothing for you there.
Well, what can we even add?
No hot takes on the drama up in the Chiefs luxury suites of the, who's endorsing and liking. I mean, okay, I just can't. We're trying to do a little show research, Paul, and all I can find are endorsements and drama, and I'm like, come on now, so you don't have to worry about that here. This is a safe space for you. We won't get into any of that.
Just only
the fun here on Sports Daily. Jad Chambers is manning that IHOP hotline for you if you'd like to call 869-1240. I think that gets us set for the day. Paul, let's start with the Royals because we have Shreya Slada coming up, and we'll get into KU football as well in just a little bit. And I know you have thoughts on KU football, but the Royals get another win last night, 5-0. So if we look at this series now, and look, it was perfection, right? You had Lugo going 7 innings, which is what the Royals would really like to see their starters do. Not only that, he was brilliant through 7 innings. They got it to Bubich. Then they got a big lead. They didn't need Urcig. It was great. The offense picked it up. Salvador Perez, a couple RBIs. Bobby Witt, he's still not hot, Paul. By his own standard, he's still... I don't even want to use the word slumping, but he's not at full steam right now, but he picks up an RBI. He has another run. He scores from first to home on a double. Like, all the little things he's still affected the game with are still happening. So you like to see that a little bit, but it's happening. Tommy Pham continues to be good for them. He had a home run, but he's just getting on base, doing the things that they brought him in to do. And it looks, it continues to look good right now for the Royals. They are 3.5 back of the Guardians, who are on a little heater themselves here, a very small one, but they continue to make noise in that wild card, Paul. And Detroit is pesky, but Boston and Seattle both lose yesterday, so you gain a little ground on them. It's looking good for the Royals to reach the postseason. And, you know, you don't want to count your eggs before they hatch, but if we imagine Kansas City there, Paul, what we've really been doing is, like, how are they playing? And right now they're playing really well, and they look like a team again that can not only reach the postseason, but can win postseason games.
Right. And how beautiful a game did Seth Lugo pitch last night? I mean, a three-hitter, seven innings of three-hit baseball. Man, yep. It just masterful. Control of every ball he was throwing. Let me ask you a question. This is, of course, no right or wrong answer, but I'm hard-pressed to try to think, is there a pitcher in the American League? I'm not going to go National League because you could probably find one over there. There's some really good pitching going on in the National. But right now in the American League, would you take any other pitcher at this moment right now over Seth Lugo? Because I think you might maybe take one, but I'll tell you what, you'd be hard-pressed to find two or three, wouldn't you?
Yeah, this was Lugo. This was Cy Young Lugo, right? This
was
three All-Star break. This is the
And that's right.
He's heating up, right? He's all of these pitchers are reaching limits in their innings that they have never really seen before. But that's now three great starts in a row for Lugo. It's 4 out of 5 of his last appearances. And that's the momentum you need to see. If Lugo is this, right, if he's given them seven innings in a postseason game, that's against the Yankees at their place yesterday, right? Like, I don't want to overlook, that's against the Yankees at their place that he did that, right? Wow. He did it against the Guardians. He did it in Houston. His last three starts, Paul, are against teams that the Royals would potentially see in the postseason. He went seven innings in all three of them and gave up a combined 2 runs over 21 innings against Houston, Cleveland, and the Yankees. Houston and the Yankees were on the road. So if you tell me that the Royals can get that the rest of the way and through the postseason out of their ace pitcher, I'm going to tell you the Royals have a really good chance to make noise, not only get to the postseason, but make noise. And it had been a while for Lugo, right? Before that, it had been much rockier. And so I want to hope here that he is through that sort of threshold. He made it over the peak there of, it says, more innings than he's ever thrown. And now he's back in a groove, because that, you know, now that we are seeing the Royals look like they're going to get there, right? It would take a catastrophe for them not to, every day that goes by in the schedule and every win that they get. If we see things like this, it gives you hope that they can not only get there, but they can win. Now, you know, Vinny Pasquantino is not going to be there in the beginning. Mike Gillespie of Kings of Kauffman told us yesterday it's looking like an outside chance at a divisional series round, most likely not for the wild card. And then as they make their way further through, the chances go up. So they're probably not having him at the beginning. By the way, if you missed any of that with Mike Gillespie yesterday, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. It just looks like, Paul, they could round into form right at the right time. The timing on this has all been good. They went through that rough week. Hopefully they don't have anything like that left in them, and they get this kind of starting pitching. If they get this kind of starting pitching, which is really rounding back into form, they're going to be a very tough out in the postseason for any team. Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that you're through that killer part of the schedule. I mean, we had the Royals had a few moments coming up. You know, you got the Yankees. They had Cleveland. They had Minnesota. Just in the last few weeks, I mean, it's been a tough schedule. But now you're going to go. You're going to go to Pittsburgh. You're going to have Detroit. Detroit's playing a little better. San Francisco, Washington, Atlanta. Atlanta's competing for a playoff. So I think that. But overall, this isn't the schedule that we were worried about, what, a month ago? Because that was last month. Was
they're
a
almost
month.
Through it now. Yeah, yeah, if they win today, I believe, and Tommy's been pointing this out, if they can find a way to win this finale, the rubber game, they will have gone 10-10 over that 20-game stretch we've been dreading.
Right, right.
And that is what we hoped for. You know, that is what you kind of wished that they would be able to get to if they were going to reach the postseason, and that's coming true in a lot of ways. Even if they don't win today, they're obviously still in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. They've been getting help from the teams around them, but man, it's just like, and I've been at the fair, Paul, the last couple of days, and I've talked to a lot of Royals fans. Uh-huh. And everybody's still just a little bit guarded. Like you don't want to jinx it and all of these things, but man, it's looking good. Like everybody's got the same reaction. Like 100 out of 100 people I talked to about the Royals, it's all the same thing. It's like, what, you know, I'll see a Royals hat or Royal shirt and I'll kind of give them, hey, what do you think about the Royals? And everybody, I can't give you that look. Like, it's looking good, but I don't want to. And I'm like, I get it.
Yep. I don't want to be the one.
I'm superstitious. I hear you. I don't want you to do that either. But it's been good. And they look great. That was a great game. And the reality is, Paul, they shouldn't have lost the game two nights ago, right? Like, they shouldn't have lost the opener either.
Right.
And so you look at it now, and I know it only matters if you win or lose, but when we're looking at things that should tell us things about the postseason, they beat the Yankees in relatively dominating fashion yesterday, and they should have beat them in the opener. And this is a team that's going to be in the postseason. So we have to start looking at that too. They're faring well against potential playoff opponents, and they can hang. I said, they're not outmatched by anybody. Yeah. They're playing in what's turned into one of the better divisions in baseball, and they've been there all year long.
Right.
Hang, man. Yeah. Hang.
I got one disappointment though coming up with Pittsburgh. Paul Skenes isn't pitching. He's kind of phenomenal. I want to see him pitch against the Royals. I think it would be fun. I would have liked to seen it. As of right now, he's not scheduled, but I wish he was, but he's not.
The Royals are happy that he's not.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about. I'm just talking.
No, I know. I actually don't disagree with you. You want to get to see him. Every time you get. He's that kind of pitcher.
Yeah.
Okay. The IHOP hotline's open for you, 869-1240. We want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us up here at KFH each and every morning, and all the Odyssey stations around the building. We'll have that. We have Shreya Slotta coming up bottom of the hour. We'll come back. We'll hit a quick hitter there, and then we'll get Shreyas later in the hour as well to talk a little KU football. That's all coming. It's Albrook. It's Savage. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday on Sports Daily. Thanks for participating. We'll be right back. All that Royals baseball coverage is presented by T-Mobile. All the baseball coverage. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Paul Savage, Jacob Albrocht here. It is Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. I would imagine that Jad has his best Hawaiian on. Just going to pretend that he does.
Yeah,
anyway.
Let's pretend.
Yeah. All right, Paul. We haven't talked. You haven't been on since Friday. You were right up there, if not our picks winner. You didn't get the perfect week, but that means you got KU and K-State right though. We'll talk to Shreya Slotta. We'll set this up here for a couple of minutes before he joins us. KU's talked this week, and I thought something that was interesting when Lance Leipold talked earlier this week. Everybody on the planet is furious at coaching decisions because they were brutal offensively to throw the ball when Illinois couldn't stop the run, let alone on first down, the three interceptions. KU was better than Illinois, yet they lost the game. Coaching decisions were perhaps the biggest part of that. Mm-hmm. But Lance Leipold brought up an interesting comment, and he said, you know, some of those were RPOs, and Jalen would probably like to have those back and run the ball. And I thought that was really interesting. One, I think it's a defense of his offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator who is in, you know, hot water with every fan for KU right now. But then it makes me think, too, if that's the case, Paul, and you've been on the sidelines, you know the processes of play calling and decision making and these things. If the first time Jalen Daniels makes the wrong decision, at that point, still, shouldn't you say, instead of an RPO, this is a handoff? Like, we're not going to give you the option anymore. I mean, especially by the third time, right? Like, it's not an RPO. Run the ball. Like, we have the lead. They cannot stop the run. They have not been able to stop the run all game. Run the ball. Not RPO. We don't even want you to have the option, let alone that Jalen Daniels doesn't look very good right now. You don't get the choice. Run the ball. I don't want to totally let anybody off the hook because of that, because they still kept calling RPOs when they probably should have taken the decision out of Jalen Daniels' hands at that point.
And you can even take it a step further. Not only will you run the ball when we say run the ball, you're going to run the ball with the designated ball carrier. In other words, you know, you can literally can take, you know, the option game out. You can take, my reads, those kind of things. You can take all that stuff out. And basically, you will have a designated ball carrier. It might be you, but it will be a designated ball carrier, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, there, that's a chance to get back in the groove of things. It's a time, it's a chance to be able to knock off the rust. I mean, it's early in the season to get that, to get whatever it is knocked off your offensive game. There's nothing wrong with calling out who's going to carry the ball, or whether you're going to throw the ball, or which receiver, you know, you're going to designate as the number one receiver. There's nothing wrong with that, Jacob. Absolutely nothing wrong. It's done all the time by really good football teams. So with that being said, I look at this situation and I think, well, you've got a talented quarterback. I know there's a talented quarterback in this situation. So here's what you got to do. Bring him along. Get his legs back underneath him. I mean, let's face it. He's kind of an upperclassman, but reps, he's not exactly flush with reps in his career. Would you agree with that? He's not necessarily, you know, had 100 snaps every game. I mean, that's just not what he's doing. That's at all. So there's nothing wrong with designating and scripting scripting. You know, most college football coaches have the first three or four series almost scripted. Just, you know, play by, this is how it's going to go. This is what we're going to do. We get a first down that goes to this, you know, so on. And so, I mean, it's really scripted. Nothing wrong with that, Jacob. Nothing wrong at all.
No, not when you have a lead and it's very clear that they can't stop you. Mm-hmm. Like, they cannot stop you. Mm-hmm. So just go. And again, Tree Slotta joins us in a few minutes. We'll ask him about that.
Okay.
So we'll get into that. For K-State, you had – it's almost like you had the opposite happening, right? You had K-State fans like, open it up, stop being so conservative. There has been a little bit of like a role reversal between the two teams this year that we're not used to, where KU needs to play to its strength and be more conservative, and K-State probably needs to air it out a little bit. And I kind of agree. Right. I think there was a lot of heat for Dylan Edwards not getting the ball more. Something that came up interesting, and we could talk to Tim Fitzgerald about this tomorrow in what, you know, the K-State people are evaluating, the coaches and everything. They're just not running as many plays right now as they had been in the past. Why? I think a part of that is because the opposition, and Tulane specifically, had long sustained drives, took their ability to run a long play. So they may not be able to even get to the things that they want to get to yet. But you see Arizona coming up on the schedule, and you gotta bring the kitchen sink in that game, right? Especially if you want any at-large, you know, considerations if you're K-State. So it has been strange, and I don't know if you feel the same way. And I've mentioned it a few times. It's like there's a role reversal. What we're used to seeing with K-State sort of now feels like it should be KU's identity: dominate the lines, play great defense, start with the run, and then when you look at the other side with K-State, a little shakier on the lines, perhaps. The defense has not been as good. The secondary certainly has not been as good. They have the dynamic quarterback. Open it up.
Right.
And track meet everybody. It is a complete 180 from what we're used to seeing out of these two schools.
You know, I hadn't looked at it that way, but I think you're exactly right. I mean, How many years? I mean, we've almost gotten to the point where K-State's going to match up with most teams they play in the trenches, and they're going to usually dominate at least one side, the majority of one side of the ball or the other. And that's what they do. That's their name. That's their identity. That's how K-State wins football games. That's how all football teams win football games, is domination. That's not necessarily what we've had with KU. And we have had shows where, oh, man, we vented a little bit on the offensive line. They're not physical. They can't pass pro, all kinds of things. But that's a really good point. The roles have sort of switched a little bit, haven't they? And K-State isn't that dominant team. By the way, K-State was darn lucky to win that game. That was a phantom call. K-State really probably shouldn't have won that football game. Now, I don't know what would have happened.
That call has been debated for sure.
Yeah.
And
it was
people
not
are
a
trying
call.
To make a case on both sides. Yeah, no, I hear you. But it takes those kinds of things to get through a season, especially if you're going to have it be a special season.
By the way, did I not call it right? I said Tulane was going to be a really good football team,
offense.
And they were.
They were a great offense. I was very impressed with their offense. I'm not sure, and this I've been having this internal debate all week. I'm not sure. I don't think Tulane's better than Illinois. They're both pretty good. I bet you Illinois is middle of the pack at worst in the Big Ten, and I bet you Tulane wins that league.
I was pretty impressed with Tulane. Yeah,
I was pretty impressed with Tulane.
I was too.
Okay. Let's get Shreya Slotta in here to help us break down KU and look ahead, because UNLV, you know, sort of it's a rematch game. They've been pretty good this year. I think their expectations are pretty high. We'll get Shreya's thoughts on looking back and looking ahead on that. That's coming up next. Let's set up our text contest. You can text to win right now. Listeners can enter by sending the keyword T to the short code 20357. What that will get you is a free iced tea from HTO, either Wichita location, East or West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 20 flavors of iced tea to choose from. We're going to get you a free coffee as well. Free rain coffee, iced or hot, all kinds of special drinks, including the two new fall specials, the Dirty Chai Apple Crisp or the Mocha Butter Pecan Latte, iced or hot. Check them out. Good luck, everybody. That's tea to the short code 20357. We'll come right back. More Sports Daily coming your way right after this. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Wednesday. We're rocking and rolling through hour number one, and we are happy to bring in our KU insider, Shreya Slotta, to join the program. Shreya's work can be found at the KC Star. Glad to have Shreyas in again this week. It is a, Shreyas, it's not a good week. And I think there was on Saturday, especially after the game, there was very much a sky is falling mentality, at least among the KU fans that I communicate with during these games, kind of get the, you can fight. But the reality is, I don't think an at-large is coming out of the Big 12 anyway. So they still got to win the Big 12 championship. And I do think we have seen enough early on to maintain that this is a team that will be contending for a Big 12 title. The defense has been fantastic. The run game is as good as we thought, but maybe even the offensive line is, I would say, ahead of what we thought. Jalen Daniels is clearly not. He is behind, way behind where we thought he would be. But there are enough things there. They were better than Illinois, right? It's a very frustrating loss, but they were a better team than Illinois. I don't know if you feel this. I don't take anything away and say, no, they're not going to contend for a Big 12 title. I still absolutely think that they can.
I was talking to Carter Stanley about this, former KU quarterback that I do film reviews. And, you know, it was a weird loss because it's – how much of the issues that we saw on Saturday are they going to repeat this Friday? And then I can determine where KU's at, because I don't know if this is the version of Jalen Daniels we're going to see. I don't think he's going to throw three picks, but if he's not the 2022 version or what he was the first three games last year, I think KU could be in trouble. If he's struggling to throw balls to the right places, you know, accuracy decisions, underthrown balls, he just didn't really look like himself, and I'm willing to kind of throw this game away. It's a wash. Worst game of his career. It happened. That's fine. But he has to look good against UNLV. And we were going back and looking at since Jeff Grimes took over. Obviously, the UNLV bowl game last year, they had him there, but not quite calling plays. But the quarterbacks combined between him and Jason Bean in that time, I think they have 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I don't know if that's just careless decision-making part on the guys that have played, or it's just the offense hasn't really found the rhythm that they hope to find. But, you know, I think it's too early to count Kansas out from the Big 12 contention, like you guys said. But for me, that loss was an alarming loss because I think they were the better team than Illinois. I think they had themselves a chance to win that game multiple times, and they blew it because of careless errors or mistakes, whether it was Jalen or even the defense once or twice. And just looking at what the schedule is, everything that we thought, like games that we thought were easy, are not as easy as we once thought they were. West Virginia is now a tough game. UNLV could be a toss-up. I really don't know if they'll cover 7. You know, the spread is 7 points. Like, I really don't know what Kansas team is going to show up on Friday. We know Lance Leipold does a good job of bouncing back after losses. We know that, you know, this team has a lot of promising parts to it. The defense looks better. The offensive line is pretty good. The running game is good. But at the end of the day, if Jalen Daniels isn't the Jalen Daniels that we thought he was, then Kansas could be in trouble.
At the University of Kansas, I think to myself to this point that compared with past years, this is still a much more physical football team than it's been over the years. You know, this was an offensive line that I thought had some good moments. They had some physicality, a lot more physicality than they've had in past years. I think you would probably agree with that. Just observing, just looking at line surge, looking at coming off the ball, those kind of things. You know, that's something to work with, though, Sharice. That is something that you know, you either have it or you don't. And if you don't have it, it is tough. And I'm talking about the ability to control the line of scrimmage. If you don't have that ability, the season's long for any team. And I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, that need to get better. But I think the possibilities are there to get better because you got an offensive line that I think is okay. At least in comparison to where they've been over the years, it's a lot better in my opinion. Is that one way to look at this? If you're looking at the overall picture, you got a shot because you can be physical.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we look at the offensive line, like you said, it's more physical. They did a great job of creating some holes for the running backs. I think the big thing is the play calling going to give the ball to Devin Neal and Daniel Highshot more, right? Like, I wrote a story about this yesterday, but I went back and looked at the stats and some of the games and stuff like that. In the fourth quarter, Devin Neal touched the ball twice. Jalen Daniels went 3 of 8. In comparison, Illinois ran the ball 12 times. And they also had one quarterback scramble. They completely dominated the time of possession in the fourth quarter. They were dominant the entire fourth quarter. Kansas didn't really have a chance even on that last drive. I think the offensive line is a lot better than I thought they'd be after the guys who have left and you know, they brought in new guys. I think that was a worry of mine coming in this year. I think the running game looks even better than last year. A lot in chance because of Devin Neal being Devin Neal and Daniel Highshot being Daniel Highshot. But at the end of the day, I'm going to keep going back to this. But my belief in Kansas football hinges on the ability of Jalen Daniels being a top 15, top 10 quarterback in the nation. If he's not that, you can throw out the Big 12 championship title chances out the window, in my opinion.
So that's what's been interesting to me now, and I don't know enough about Illinois to make that sort of declaration, but I almost think the identity has shifted a little bit for what I thought of KU football this year. I think they may be a better running team than I thought. They're certainly going to be a better defense than I thought, and I just wonder if that's not enough, if Jalen Daniels can make better decisions. It is very hard for me to imagine that we're going to see 2022 Jalen Daniels out there now. And I don't know that there's any leash or anything, or there needs to be a quarterback change. That stuff's so far down the road. What I'm trying to figure out is, can they be a run first defense team with Jalen Daniels scaling back what we've seen of the best of Jalen Daniels and being less than that? I think they're better in those other areas than I thought they would be. I'd at least give it a shot based on what we've seen so far. And that takes us to the play calling issue for Grimes. But And here's why I'm glad we have you in here, because you were in the room with Leipold this week when he basically informed us that some of those were RPOs, not called passes. Now, okay, if that's the case, still, fool me once, all right. By the third time, you don't give him the RPO. You say, run the dang ball. Like we're not going to, like, we've seen this song and dance now. This is not your option anymore. You run the football. So I still think it was a play calling issue, even if it wasn't as direct as maybe we thought it was.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, until we see what this season becomes, everyone is going to be watching what's happening down at Penn State and wondering what is happening over there. Because Andy Kotelnicki, you can say whatever about Penn State's defense. You can say whatever about what the talent level they have there, which seems to be better than even Kansas. But he's cooking down there. And unfair or fair, everyone's going to compare Jeff Grimes to him. And the eyeballs are magnified this week, especially against a UNLV team that doesn't have the best defense. If they come out and they throw the ball 100 times, it feels like, it could be another long week. And to me, this is another trap game. Like Illinois was a trap game. Like this is a game that if Kansas doesn't bring their A game on the offensive end, they could lose, because UNLV can run the heck out of the ball. They put up 500 yards on Utah Tech. I know Utah Tech is Utah Tech, but that's 500 yards. They have a quarterback that can scramble that has given Kansas traditionally the last 2 years a ton of trouble. They did a good job against Illinois. Let's see what happens against UNLV. They have an All-American preseason wide receiver, so the secondary is going to have their hands full. It's a game to me that it's stupid to think about what happened in December, because it's just a completely two different teams. Okay. And I think there is a path to victory, like you said, where you run the ball and Jalen Daniels is not counted on to be the Jalen Daniels of the old. My issue with that is when you get later in the season and the wins become more important and we're getting towards the chance of them trying to get to a Big 12 title game, is that good enough to beat some of these teams? Is that good enough to beat Iowa State? Is that good enough to beat Kansas State? Is that good enough to beat Baylor? You know, like those three teams could all be games that could help flip them from title contention to making the Big 12 title. And if you make the Big 12 title, which is way, way ahead of time, and I'm like, you know, I think we, as people who have looked at Kansas, have talked about it too much that, oh, I'm guilty of this too. Oh, I think this team can contend for a Big 12. I don't even know that anymore. Like, let's go back to, can they beat UNLV this week?
Sure.
Because if they lose to UNLV this week, they're tilted. They're falling down. They're playing West Virginia in the road. And things can be, you could be 1-3 heading to Arizona State just like that. And I'm not trying to say the sky is falling. We're not there yet. But let's take a step back. Let's look at UNLV. Let's not talk about Big 12 title contention. I mean, Carter Stanley told me it best. Let's not talk about Big 12 title until the end of October.
But Trius, the problem with this year is there's never been expectations like this in a long time. I just think you can't not look at that. That's what people wanted and expected. Inside the locker room, totally. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yep, don't look ahead. You can't look ahead. Man, the fan base is not going to not look ahead. Because that was the promise of this season, right? That's what everybody's so excited about. And I just don't think all that much has changed other than Jalen Daniels is, whether he gets there or not, he's not there yet. I don't know if he's going to get there. That's where I'm more curious, because we have seen teams, we've seen Kansas State do it in years where they haven't been great at quarterback, but they've dominated the lines. They've been a good defense. They take care of the ball and they run the ball. And it's been good enough. And I think that's what KU's identity is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I get why fans do it, why media does it. I mean, like I said, I'm guilty of thinking about what's ahead, because that's natural life. I think I will say this to the KU fan base. I think basketball has spoiled people beyond belief. And we put these expectations on this football team that maybe they're not quite there yet. Okay. And I'm guilty of it, just as like anybody else is guilty of it, because I had them winning 11 this year. Now I don't know if they're going to win 9. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility to say that, because to me, like, if Jalen Daniels is not making the right decisions, not even about throwing interceptions, how much can you trust him to make the right decision on options? How much can you trust him to, you know, not play hero ball out there? We've seen him do that a few times against Nevada last year. We know he's a very talented quarterback. We know he's very good. But whatever happened against Illinois, whether it was them just being confused by coverages, does that mean he's going to struggle against Big 12 teams when they disguise coverages really well? I don't know that. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. And that's a big weakness to point out. And I think this team is going to have to be as balanced as possible for them to win a Big 12 title. I don't think you can run Devin Neal, Dan Hyshaw to the ground. As much as Kansas fans think that is the solution to the problem, I think it's going to be, yes, you need to run them more, but you need Jalen to be at least 80% of as he could as he was. Right now, we're not close. He's making terrible decisions with the football. He's doing things that we've never seen Jalen Daniels do since he was a freshman. And if you go back and you watch that Illinois game from last year, that tape looks like a guy who should play on Sundays. You watch the tape from today, and you're going to sit there, and people will be like, well, if you've never seen Jalen Daniels play, and be like, is this guy good enough to start a quarterback? And I obviously, he is. It's not about that. It's about, for me, seeing what makes him successful and being able to make up and minimize some of the things that he's doing. Like, why was every shot on in the game a deep ball or a screen pass? What happened to the intermediate passing game that he was so good at the last 2 years? Why does that disappear? Where are the tight ends? They haven't been involved. I know they don't have Mason Fairchild anymore, but Jared Casey should be involved more. Trevor Cardell should be catching the ball more, right? Those two things. And what is up with this hyper-targeting? Why is he hyper-targeting Luke Grimm? He 7 of his 9 completions in the first half was to Luke Grimm. The one interception, that first one, was a pass to Luke Grimm. The second half, I think he did the same thing with Lawrence Arnold. I don't know what is happening, but it doesn't look like he's going through his reads as well as he was. And it looks like he's more predictable as a quarterback than he's ever been. And I don't know if it's a mental thing or if that's just Illinois' defense being that good. And I guess we'll find out Friday. But to me, the biggest thing I want to see on Friday is Jalen Daniels looking as good as you think he can look, or at least close.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because, you know, for a Jalen Daniels-led football team like the University of Kansas is, right now I'm sitting here looking at the schedule and I'm thinking to myself, this might be just about as good a schedule as you can actually have. I mean, considering the fact you don't have Utah, you don't have Arizona, you don't – there are several teams that Texas Tech, I don't know where they're going to be, but they may end up being a pretty good – not on schedule, Sharice. And this is – one of those times, and I hate to put it like this, but if ever there was a year, you know, that old saying, if ever there was a year, this is the year where the University of Kansas really has an advantage with the schedule. I'm not saying it's not hard. It is hard. It's going to be tough. Obviously, you got 21-ranked Iowa State, and what a finish they had. I watched the fourth quarter of that game on Sunday, on Saturday against Iowa. You know, Iowa State's a good football team, but I don't know that they're as good as Utah. I don't know. You know, I don't know that they wouldn't be, but about a third or fourth place team in the Big 12. But the schedule is so advantageous. This is the year you take advantage of this kind of thing because you know you got the Houstons, you got BYU's, you got Colorado, you got Baylor. I hate to throw Baylor in my own school in there, but that's not exactly murderer row. It's now or never, isn't it?
No, I absolutely agree. Like, this schedule was made for them to make that yes. Big 12 title.
Thank you.
Yes. I was talking to Carter about this before we were filming. You know, every year, programs like Kansas have this opportunity every 15 to 20 years where they can make a special magical run to win a Big 12 title and maybe the college football playoffs. If it's this, it's this year or bust for Kansas. 30 guys are leaving next year. I don't know if they're going to win 5 next year. Lance has not been able to get a recruiting class as good as Les Miles. If you go back and look at the last 3 classes he's brought in, this is probably the most successful one so far, the 2024 class that just came in. I think they know that. I think the seniors know that. I think Jalen knows that. And like, it's one of those things that like, they have to take advantage of a weak schedule. But I also don't think the schedule was as weak as I thought it was 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, Arizona State doesn't look like the worst team in the conference. Right. Baylor's going to be a tough out in Waco. You know, Colorado probably will fall apart by the time – who knows if Shador's even playing. So I think they'll win that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Kansas State game was already a toss-up. But now whatever we have, these problems that we've kind of expanded and kind of come out, who knows? And, like, I'm not – trying to scare KU fans, but I think I jumped the wagon a little bit on 11 wins. Maybe I'm wrong and they just go on an incredible run and I turn out to be correct. But I think we're in for a couple of doozy games where they might drop that they should have won.
And back to the original point, it's okay. 12 teams get in. The Big 12 champion gets in. It's not the season's over after an Illinois loss. Doesn't really matter. If you get into a Big 12 championship game and you win, you're in. That could come, I think, this year with three or four losses. I just don't think anybody in the league is going to be able to do that. So sky's not falling. There are certainly a lot of things to figure out. All right, Trius, a big one, Friday Night Football. What do you have for us at the KC Star this week?
Yeah, I have my film breakdown kind of coming out later today. This Sunday, I should have a kind of a small feature on College Football 25 and Kansas football. And talk to a bunch of guys about them playing the game and if it's helped them on the field and stuff like that, which would be fun. We'll have my prediction come out in the next few days. Obviously, mailbag, typical game coverage. I'm excited for it. I think it should be a fun, high-scoring matchup on both ends, and I think this will be a really good test for the KU defense against a good offensive side.
Shreyas Lotta, follow him on X. Follow his work at the KC Star. We appreciate it. It's a crazy week for KU football. I think things are going to settle in. From a betting perspective, I love the under, and I think I might like to lay the points. I think KU is going to respond this week.
I think so too, and I hope so because my mentions were a dumpster fire on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'd like to them not have the fire Jeff Grimes and all this other stuff in my mentions. And Kansas fans, when they lose, are the most miserable beings on earth.
Boy, that's
so
true.
So is every college football fan. Nobody has adjusted yet to the fact that it's a 12-team playoff.
That's true.
Nobody has. It's just not that big a deal. Unless you thought they were going to run the table and go unbeaten and be an at-large, it's not that big a deal. A big deal is that they fix it before they start playing conference games. All right, Shreyas, appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Find all that work at the KC Star. Yeah, look, I had the same reaction from KU fans. Like this is, it's not over. It doesn't matter. In reality, it doesn't, unless you really thought KU was running the table or would have one loss going into the final week of the season.
Right.
Loss is irrelevant.
Quick question. Yes, KU fans, bigger bad losers than K-State fans?
Nah, everybody's a bad loser when it comes to sports, Paul.
I got you.
I mean that. Like, I promise you, if K-State didn't get that done against Tulane, they'd have been just as miserable in agony of defeat.
Probably worse. Yeah.
Well, and especially in college football, right? Because forever we've been trained to say one loss and the season's over. So everybody, like, that's the reaction. Are you kidding me? You don't think Ohio State and Michigan fans, like all these fans of these schools, like, that's why college football is going to be so much better this year. Mm-hmm. We got to adjust to it still. We got to retweak our psyches to understand that. It's okay.
I got you.
It's not who's the best team at the end of the year.
Good point. You're exactly right.
We'll come back. Kevin Saul joins us. No football there at Wichita State, but we got volleyball in session. We'll see what the latest on the softball facilities is. They've got a big day coming up. We get the latest on Shocker Athletics when we return. It's All Brockton Savage. It's Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere.